In Staying on the Road today, we're going to discuss that problem that plagues RVers probably in the worst possible place. The RV slide out being stuck either out or closed and you're out on a trip. So we're going to give you the things that you're going to check first. And then in the quick tips, since we're talking about slide outs, we're going to discuss slide out motors and control boards on the cheap and what to avoid. And then an RV envy. Why not try a SunPro Manufacturing slide out awning fabric? I'm Eric Stark, everybody. Welcome to the Smart RVer Podcast. If you'd rather be camping than sitting in a repair shop, you're in the right place. Every episode, I'll walk you through practical DIY maintenance and repairs that keep you on the road. So today is episode 208, and we're going to jump right into this and discuss these RV slide outs because, you know, when it breaks, when it's not working, you're in a rush to get it fixed, right? So I feel the pressure right now. We got to get you going. We got to make sure that you get that slide room in or out. Ooh, the heat is on. So let's just get into it. All right. So your RV slide out is stuck. It doesn't open or it doesn't close, or maybe it's halfway. It doesn't know what it wants to do. And when that happens, man, the urgency sets in. It's an emergency. It's 911, right? DEFCON 5. Everybody's on board with this. Hey, we got to get this slide out working. Especially if you're out camping, you pull into the campsite, you're getting everything all set up, you level the RV and you hit that slide button to send it out. Nothing happens. You press it again, nothing happens. You press it again, and the inclination is to press it about 75 more times and still nothing happens. Pressing that button is not going to make it happen if it doesn't work once or twice. It's just not going to happen. There's something wrong. Or maybe it's reverse. You've packed up, you've had a great weekend, you need to get home, you want to get home to get the RV unpacked, get unloaded, chill out. You know, it's a Sunday night, you want to relax, kind of like that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine just wants to get home and just relax, decompress. But they run into problem after problem. She don't get home till midnight. No time to relax on a Sunday for her. Well, it can be the same for us. That slide doesn't come in, and now we're thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? The pressure's mounted. We got to get it fixed, right? So we start pushing, pulling, doing things, and nothing's happening because we don't understand. We haven't slowed down to really just try to figure out what the problem is. Maybe it's not completely stuck. Maybe it's moving real slow or jerky. There's things happening there. So that's what we're going to try to figure out today. What do we do? What are the signs to help us navigate through this? But the first thing we do is we don't panic. We don't keep pressing the button or the switch. We don't hold the switch down. Let's say we're trying to bring the slide out in. We don't just hold it on the in position and hopefully it works. We don't do that. If we press it, nothing happens. You do it a couple times, nothing happens. Then you have something wrong. And by holding that button down, if there's a problem in the wiring or the motor, you can make the problem worse. Or if the motor or the slide room is stuck and it's going ding, 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 holding that button down can make it worse. You can actually break something at that point that's not broken yet. There could be a couple different or one problem, but if you keep holding the button, it could create two problems. You don't want to damage the gearbox or strip the teeth on a gear. Or stress out a mechanism, or maybe the room's out of alignment and make it even worse. You know, maybe there's a controller problem, a wiring issue. So we have to determine what that is first. Now, you know, the slide out switch isn't this magic fix button. If I press it 8 more times, it'll fix it. I know it. It's not like that. It's not the Wizard of Oz, you know, click your heels and it's going to fix it. No way, not even close. So the first thing we do, and it might sound crazy, is make sure the battery voltage is up. And maybe you've been out camping and you've been plugged into shore power, but is your battery voltage really up? See, you're disconnected now from shore power and you're on your battery power because you're getting ready to leave. So you've already disconnected the RV. And even though you were plugged in all weekend and your lights were working, which would say, hey, the 12 volts is working. Well, that could be the converter. The lights are just running off the converter, not necessarily the battery. Now that you've disconnected, your battery could be weak. It just wasn't charging all weekend. Everything seemed okay, but now it's exposed that there's a problem. So make sure your battery voltage is like 13 volts or higher. You know, the different slide rooms are going to stop working at different voltages. It might be 10 volts, might be 11 volts, might be 9 volts. But you need to make sure the battery voltage is up. And, you know, a lot of people balk at this. They don't want to go through the steps to figure things out because I know the battery's good. I was plugged in. I hear that all the time. And quite often the battery is the problem, amazingly enough. And if you rule it out, then you've ruled it out. Battery voltage is off the table. You don't have to think about it anymore. It's something else. And even a weak battery can run the lights. They might look good, but it doesn't mean that's enough power for the slide out because you might have LED lights. They don't take a lot to run. Low voltage can be a problem. Maybe the room stopped halfway in and you hear a clicking. Oh my God, something broke. No, it could be the battery. And even plugging it back in might not solve the issue because the battery could be so bad or the converter just isn't going to put out enough power to get bringing the slide out room in. Normally they do, but it could be one of these times where it's just not working right or it's gotten to that point in its life where it can't do it anymore, something like that. You know, so you want to make sure that your battery's charged up, it's got good connections there, the cables are good, there's not a battery disconnect that got turned on accidentally before you brought the slide out in. You know, you're doing stuff and your wife's helping you, your spouse, and that person turns off the battery disconnect and you didn't realize that your slide room stuck out, right? So you got to look for obvious things, but go to that battery, check for corrosion, make sure the cables are tight, they're not loose. So make sure there's power going to the slide before you panic and start doing a bunch of other stuff. Now, the thing too is, you know, battery voltage also, you know, you can have good battery voltage, but maybe there's a blown fuse or a circuit breaker that's bad. Maybe that power's not getting into the RV where it needs to be. You know, a lot of RVs, which I talked about this recently, they have a circuit breaker on the frame. Or a lot of trailers do, and that circuit breaker could be bad. Or, you know, a series of them could have a problem because one is bad. So you have to make sure you're getting power into the RV. And one of the simplest things to do in a lot of cases is just pull the switch off the wall for the slide out and make sure it has power going to it. If you have power going to the switch, so this is where a voltmeter is going to come in, and you press in or out on the switch and you're checking it for power, and you have power going out, whether you're pressing the slide room in or out, then you have power at the switch, it's going through the switch, and now the problem is going to be down probably at the motor itself, or maybe a wire or a controller, but that's your starting point. It's following the power and making sure you have power everywhere it needs to be. So let's assume that the power's not the issue. You got 12 volts. It's reaching the motor, or it's going through the switch at the minimum. It's going to the switch, in and out the switch. So if you press in or out, let's say there is no power at the switch. Could be that circuit breaker. Could be a bad fuse. Maybe there's a circuit breaker that's tripped. It's a resettable one. Maybe there's a controller issue. If your slide room has a controller, the battery disconnect I talked about, a wiring problem. Generally, it's not wiring problems. It's just something in the wire, like a circuit breaker has gone bad, a fuse. So let's say now you've checked all that. Okay, you found a blown fuse. Boom, everything works. Now, what if you press the switch? This is a different scenario. You press the switch and you just hear a clicking sound. Well, that could be low voltage. It could be a bad connection, a bad ground. It could be the motor trying to work, but it's just not even getting enough power. Or maybe something's engaging, but not all the way. Those can be issues there. And, you know, there's not a one solution that fix all. Sometimes it's just going through the steps, and it might not be something that I just talked about. It could be something different. This is giving you some direction here. Now, what if the motor runs, but nothing moves? Uh-oh. It could be a broken gear. It could be a sheared pin holding a gear onto a shaft. It could be a shaft itself has bound up over time and just kind of broken off. You know, it could be part of the drive mechanism somewhere. It just could be a mechanical failure. The motor's gone bad. What if you hear a grinding noise or some weird noises? You know, that could be gear damage. It could be a track that's got a problem with it. Something's binding is out of alignment. There could be something in the mechanism. You picked up something while you're traveling, and it didn't rear its ugly head until you're bringing the slide in or going to put it out when you got to your destination? Or what if one slide moves and the other one doesn't do anything? You know, depending on the system, you could have a circuit board in there that's controlling both slides. They've gotten out of sync. You could have a broken gear or shaft that's connecting to both. Yeah, and even, you know, they're out of sync. The circuit board's gone bad. They need to be resynced. Something threw them out. You could have the Schwintek style of slide outs, which those typically have an aluminum track on the outside of the slide room on both sides. One of the motors is could have gone bad and it's coming in crooked. You know, something happened to the room and now it's out of whack. You didn't realize it, but that room got, when you're out camping, somebody hit it or leaned on it just so. A lot of things can happen, and things can happen while you're out, you know, using your RV. So in some cases, it might not be something that's really that fixable right then and there, but the deal is to get the room in. And I'm going to give you a quick tip at the end of this. This is something you're going to have to do, and I don't want you distracted with that right now. So you got to make sure you're looking at everything correctly. What is going on here? You know, what is happening? And so when you hit the switch, if you hear a noise, don't hear a noise, what kind of noise? Is the room kind of, you know, coming in jerky? You know, if the room's coming in jerky, I wouldn't worry about fixing it right then and there if you're out camping. I would just bring it in, take your finger off the switch, shut the door on the RV, and go home and take care of it when you get home. Do not try to fix it while you're out camping, because let's say you put the room back out because your curiosity, what's going on here? What if you put it back out and you go to bring it in and now it stops halfway? See, you just made your problem worse. Bring it in and let it go and take care of it when you get home. Now, the other thing too is you need to check for obstructions, bringing in slide rooms or even putting them out. Some RVs are built in such a way that you have to make sure cabinets are closed all the way. TVs are all the way against the wall. So if you've been traveling and your TV jiggled a little away from the wall, didn't have a strap on it to hold it tight, that slide room grabs a hold of it, it's going out. The flange on the slide room on the inside, if it doesn't break, the TV will break. Something's going to break. You don't want to do that. Even a box of Cheerios can cause some serious damage on a slide room if you're trying to bring it out or bring it in and it gets jammed up. And, you know, if a cabinet door is there, it can tear the cabinet door right off the wall. So a lot of damage can happen. So make sure there's not shoes, toys, things in the way that are getting caught up in it. Always check that. Don't get into the comfort zone, man. I've seen it. I've heard about it. You know, one of my friends, his wife, I just kind of ratted her out. I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, someone in that family brought the slide room out one time and caused damage doing it that way. Brought it in another time, caused other types of damage. So it happens. You know, look outside, make sure there's nothing there that's going to get in it or something on the roof. If you've been in an area where there's a lot of pine cones under trees, you know, make sure there's not a bunch of debris in there that can cause problems or at least tear the seals, you know. These are some of the things. And I know I'm not totally answering the question here how to do this, because every trail you go trying to figure out what it is, whether it's no power, a bad part, it takes a little bit different diagnosis. But generally, you can get the room in and get yourself going, and that's what's important. And sometimes it can be a little bit of a hassle, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. We're getting there. Now, the other thing, too, is make sure your RV's leveled. You know, sometimes the slide room won't work properly, especially if you've got to a campsite. It's way off level. It won't work properly. I mean, most RVs are okay when they're out of level, at least when they're new. As they get older, being in level might become a more important issue. So make sure it's level, the frame isn't twisted, something like that. And generally when it's level, if there's any type of problem, it's not the RV itself. It's something to do with the slide and the mechanism, right? You know, something's out of whack in there that needs to be adjusted or replaced. But then again, you know, if the RV is level and you're looking at it, you get underneath there, you know, maybe the frame's twisted. You know, there's a lot of trailer frames, which, you know, I think they're all Lippert frames from what I hear in our experience. They have problems with it. You know, a twisted frame, a broken frame can definitely throw a slide room out of whack, and it's not going to work properly. So you could have something like that, but I would say more often than not, it's the room itself. Some part of that room is wrong, and not the construction of the room, but the mechanics that are driving it in and out. You know, rooms can get out of square a little bit. I mean, a quarter inch, half an inch, probably isn't going to be the end of the world. The main thing, as long as it's sealing when it's done, the slide-out awnings might not come out and look 100%, or when they roll up, they got a little bit of a wrinkle in it because sometimes the rooms aren't closing properly. You know, like I said, a quarter inch, half an inch, the fabric's a little loose at one end. That's not the end of the world. You know, that's just the way it is sometimes over time. And fabrics, especially if you replace them, they're soft and more pliable. They're not all crispy, so they always look like they're a lot worse or looser than they really are. But, you know, just keep the slide room lubricated. Check it from time to time. Get underneath it, depending on what kind of system you have. You might have cables. You might have the Schwintech with the aluminum tracks on the side. You might have power gear type drives on it, or, you know, BAL makes some drives. There's different ones that do different things. But, you know, understand what you have and get underneath there, or ever how you tackle it on your RV, and lubricate it. Clean off the gears, the tracks. If you have the aluminum tracks on the side, the Schwintech ones, you need to use something with PTFE in it, the lubricants, which, you know, I'll put a link to a product in the description of this podcast just for that, because that one sometimes can be a little bit harder to find. So it's using the right stuff. So you want to understand these things, kind of get a feel for your slide room. Because what I'm going to tell you next in the next part of our show here is going to make it a little more difficult, and it's about how to override it manually, but I'm not going to get to it right now, okay? Going to keep you waiting, right? And also, when you're doing your slide room, you know, you want to bring it all the way out and bring it all the way in. You don't want to do this halfway stuff or use the room while it's halfway out. They're designed to either be in or out. So that's part of maintenance. You know, don't do these half cycles. Do full cycles. It's better for it. That's how they're designed. So if you get into these problems and you're really not sure what to do, you can't get it resolved, then it's time to call a pro. So if the slide room's crooked, you can't get it adjusted, it's moving but not all the way in, you know, it's binding really bad, you know, there's something burnt or melted in the wiring or the circuit boards, something caused that, you know, it's stuck in the out position, you just can't figure it out, you can't get it in, you've tried pushing, pulling, tugging, you know, it's not working, it's time to call a professional. And if you're out camping, you know, then it's time to get on the phone with your repair shop and call them and see how they can help you, at least get something going there. Maybe find a local RV tech in the area. So there can be some problems there. You can call RV Help. They refer mobile techs. They can help you with that, getting a mobile tech in the area if there's one available. RV Help can do that with you. In fact, I'll put a link to their place or their website in the description here as I write this down. That's going to tie it up right here. And there's going to be a checklist that you can download. I'll put a link to it in the description of the podcast that will help walk you through this. But I'm going to tell you right now, you really need to understand what slide out system you have, whether it's a Schwintech, it's a BAL system, it's a power gear, it's a Lippert something or other. Know about it. Get underneath it. Look, explore, figure it out. And if there's a motor on there with a label on it with a number, write that stuff down or get a picture of it and save that picture. These things will help you down the road if you have to diagnose it, especially if you're talking to someone on the phone. You can go in there with everything they're going to ask you. They ask you a question, you got the answer, right? So like I said, there'll be a checklist in the description of this podcast you can download from the Smart RVer podcast. Before I get into quick tips with the slide-out motors and control boards on the cheap, here's what I was leading up to. Find your slide-out override system. See how it works before you need it. I can't emphasize that enough. Understand how your slide-out room can be brought in manually or taken out manually, which I would not recommend. If you get out on a camping trip, and you bring the room in out manually, okay, I get it. You're on the trip. You're there. But I wouldn't keep doing it. I wouldn't rely on that. I would do it once or twice and then get it fixed. You need to know this. So if you are out camping and your room doesn't come in, you've tried everything and you can't get it to come in with the electronic, then you want to know how to use the manual override. And not every slide room has a manual override, so don't count on it. And understand it before you ever go out. Can you do it? And I'm saying this in my serious voice here, because you need to do this. And so often, RVers don't know how to do it. Or they look at the wall. Oh, there's the motor. There's a little Allen head set screw on the side that'll turn. They give me this little extension that's a swivel, or it bends. And it's 12 inches long. So that's all I got to do is put a drill on that and run it in and out. See, that one will get you every single time. That's made by BAL. That system absolutely sucks. It's cable driven. And you see the cables and this motor's there. But if the room's stuck in the out position, you can't get to the motor unless you break the flange off your nice wood trim on the inside of the RV. And I say break it off because you're probably not going to get it off without breaking it. And if the room's in the in position, you're not going to be able to get back there to get to it in most cases. And there have been times where these rooms, the customer gets it brought in, but now they're trapped in their kitchen, less saying they can't get out because the room butts right up to a cabinet. So there's difficulties there. And that one, there's a solution for it. It's making a rod that would be just mounted on the side of the wall on the inside that would go into that motor, or at least right next to it, that you can push it in and run it with your drill. But that rod has to be there all the time. You can't take it in or out. You want it there as part of the inside of the RV. And depending on the RV, it might be harder to do. I probably need to include a picture of this in the description so you understand what I'm talking about on this cable drive system, and it's the BAL one. Yeah, I've never talked to them about it to get their take on this, but that's the only thing I can come up with. And other people, the same thing, technicians. That's one of those ones. So you might think you have a solution, but try that solution. Try to use it and see how it doesn't work for you. And that's what I'm talking about. You might think it's there and no problem. We're just going to override that thing, honey. Family, we're going to be on the road in a matter of minutes. Oops, I can only get the slide halfway in before I'm pushed out or I can't touch it anymore, right? So make sure it's there. And if there's not a manual override, find out how you can override the system. Is there a motor that can be taken off? Something can be done to get that slide out in. I'm going a little longer on this stuff than I wanted to, but I just feel you guys have to know this. And then also, if you bring the slide out in and you're not comfortable with how it's in, you feel like it might slide out while you're traveling, have some 2x4s with you. And you can actually bring the slide out in and set the 2x4s on the roof. You want them to on the top of the slide room in when it's in the RV. And you prop the wood, let's say a 2x4, against the wall of the RV. And you might want to pad the end of it. And then put the other side against the flange of the slide room. If you do two or three of those, depending on the size of the slide room, or four, it's going to hold it in. It's not going to be able to move. So you want it to fit in there snug. Like I said, you might want to pad the ends of them so they're not damaging the wall of the RV. But that will hold it in. There are things you can buy that do that. They're adjustable. So you could buy them. But if you had just had some wood laying around, or, you know, some 2x4s for that situation, you could cut them in your driveway at home, and that's the emergency deal. Hey, we got it in. I don't trust it now, and this will hold it in place. There you go. I wouldn't travel around the country doing that, but it gives you a way to work it. Back to slide out motors and control boards on the cheap. Again, I'm talking about the Jungle website here. So anyway, these cheap parts, you know, we're buying them and we're trying them. We're testing them. We're putting them in very specific RVs. We know which one it has. The customer's aware of it. And what we do is we give them a longer warranty on it, and they pay for the warranty. I'll be honest with you. It costs more to give a longer warranty, because if you buy it on the Jungle website, you got a 30-day warranty. That company is not going to take care of you after the 30 days are up. Doesn't matter what they say. They're not going to do it, because these companies don't really exist. They are a warehouse someplace. I'm not saying all of them, but most of them. So beware. You might have to buy two or three of them. And that goes back to that self-inflicted inflation. You know, the reviews are mixed on it. Some of them don't last. Some of them don't work at all when they get them. It's hard to say. And our testing still doesn't mean we're going to be totally excited about these things. But, you know, when you see a motor that sells for like $400 for a Schwintech side room from Lippert, you know, and you go to your RV store and that's $375, they're not ripping you off. That's based on their cost. And you see one on the Jungle website for $35, you're going, this dealer's ripping me off, man. This is crazy. It's not true. He's buying it from Lippert or through a distributor, and his markup is normal. It just looks like they're ripping you off. And really, I would say maybe Lippert's ripping all of us off, right? But I don't know. So we're testing these things, and I'll keep you updated on it. We'll see how they go. We've bought some circuit boards and motors. And like I said, they're in very specific RVs. We know where they're at. So we're going to monitor that failure rate and see what happens. I'm banking on them failing premature, and that's going to be that. But I could be wrong. Maybe they are quality. Maybe, yeah, we don't know. But I'm going to say this. Be careful buying that stuff. I know it's not going to last as long. If Lippert is truly building their stuff in a different factory with different specs, higher quality solder joints and wire, then it's going to last longer. But if they're pretty much the same, rolling off the same assembly line, then no, hey, we're all getting taken for a ride. But be careful buying that stuff. And just because one thing works for you, let's say you do buy one of these knockoff Lippert replacements, it doesn't mean everything else. Like if you buy a Dometic thermostat or a knockoff Dometic thermostat, it might only last for 3 months. And that's what we're seeing a lot of, is the thermostats that are knockoffs for these RV brands like Coleman, Dometic, Furrion. They're not lasting. They're just cheap knockoffs. They don't work. But that's our experience. You might be experiencing something different. In fact, I'd like to hear your experience. I'm not looking for arguments here. Just, hey, what do you got to say about it? What did you buy and how did it work for you? So you can reach out to me on thesmartrver.com. All right, so now I'm going to quickly say this. We've gone a little bit longer in here. So why not try a SunPro slide-out awning fabric? We make slide-out awning fabrics at SunPro Manufacturing, which is, you know, part of the Smart RVer family. And we're absolutely proud of these fabrics. You can get 14-ounce, 18-ounce with a 4-year, or a 3-year, 5-year, or 10-year warranty. Great product. We make them to your dimensions, exactly how you want it, and they ship out every Tuesday and Thursday, so they move along pretty quickly. The prices are absolutely awesome, so check that out. I'll have a link in the description. And also, if you appreciate the podcast and our YouTube videos and our channel, share it with others. You know, share it with as many people as you can. Like and subscribe. Let your friends know about it. If you're on Apple, Spotify, subscribe, like, give us thumbs up, reach out to us. We answer all the comments when we know they're there. So please do that and share it with your family and friends. Now, in episode 209, in 2 more weeks, we're going to talk about building a roadside RV repair kit that actually makes sense. It's not going to be loaded down with a bunch of garbage, and we're not going to be selling it to you. It's going to be stuff that you're going to be able to pick up and add to it. We might have some of the things for sale for it, but it's not a big sales pitch for something we're making. All right. So, hey, everybody, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Smart RVer Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Eric Stark, and if you'd rather be camping than sitting in a repair shop, you're in the right place. Until next time, take care of little things and enjoy the trip.